You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining us. Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors, and who's just going to say goodbye with us. We're welcoming Leslie Appleton Young, Vice President and Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Welcome, Leslie.
Well, nice to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And I understand there's some construction going on in your building right now.
We are getting a new roof. So it was quiet for a while. It's back right now, but hopefully you'll be able to hear me.
Okay. Well, if we hear any noise, we just wanted to explain. We didn't want anyone to come alarmed.
No, exactly.
And did you have a home warranty on that building?
Oh, I'm sure we do, right, Neil? I don't know.
Somebody probably took care of that.
Right.
I'm sure no one's going to mess and sue the California Association of Realtors. So here's my issue that I have, Leslie. You both from the California Association of Realtors were invited last week to Santa Barbara. I was unable to attend Neil's talk, but I went to see you. I'd never seen you. It was a great talk.
Thank you.
You were at the venue of the Montecito Association, the Montecito Country Club.
Right.
After your talk, and I couldn't stay for this, there was an open bar, a carving station at the Montecito Country Club. Neil Kalin, he talks at the board, and he had warm cookies. Now, why is this reverse sexism? Why is that?
No, it definitely is not reverse sexism. The fact of the matter is that my remarks were, I was hosted by the Santa Barbara. It's actually...
Oh, thanks. Thanks for mentioning another broker
on my program.
I meant to say that before.
I'm just trying
you
to
get
make
that.
The
you had to plug that in.
Between the public sector and the private
by
sector.
By the way, that broker didn't pay for all that stuff. It was paid for by First American Title and all the other.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to make the public sector versus private sector point. That's all. Sorry.
That's okay. I set myself up. Neil?
I think it gives me something to strive for. Maybe I'll be a vice president one day and I'll get treated that well.
I think you got the shaft, Neil. There's no way to sugarcoat this. But I'll tell you this much. At least Neil got mentioned. And by the way, it was standing room only at the Association of Realtors. At least Neil got mentioned. And by the way, we'll edit out that other broker's comment for the remainder of the show. Neil got mentioned in the local paper. And Leslie, I didn't see anything.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. Might have been that comment that someone made at the beginning.
That might have been it.
Kind of slammed the local. Neil, we're going to let you go. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Neil. Okay, let's see if we can get some real talk in, Leslie.
Okay, you got it.
You got it. You did a great, great talk. I really appreciated it. One of the things you talked about was mortgage rates. Why are mortgage rates so low? The mortgage rates, the Fed keeps increasing mortgage rates, and everyone's concerned about mortgage rates. What do you have to say about that?
Well, mortgage rates are heading up, and we saw that over the last 3 months or so. We've had rates going up ever so gently, ever so slightly, but they are on the move up. I think what's most interesting from my perspective is the fact that the Fed has been tightening the Fed funds rate since June of 2004, and it's only at the tail end of 2005 that we start to see any kind of movement, sustained upward movement in rates. So a couple of the things that other economists and certainly the Federal Reserve and Alan Greenspan in particular have talked about are forces operating in the global economy that are acting to push prices down. So kind of a deflationary bias, if you will, in the economy. And a couple of things going on. One, kind of the rise of the Walmart, you know, super retailer where there is a pressure towards lower prices. You know, they are the largest retailer in the world, but they want to sell everything at the lowest possible price. So there's a tremendous amount of competition among producers.
Is Walmart the one that's redoing your roof right now?
I know. I'm not really sorry about that. I think they've moved.
I love your comment about the Walmart effect.
Well, and I think it's real, you know, and it exemplifies this transition in the economy for the last 30 years from producers to retailers. I think another thing we have to think about is how easy it is to get information on pricing on just about any product imaginable through the internet. So that, again, increases competition. You also have outsourcing, offshoring. We are looking at a global labor market where there's excess supply of labor. And so companies that are facing this extreme pressure to be competitive and lower their prices are obviously looking all over the world, you know, India, China, for lower cost goods and lower cost workers. I forgot to mention earlier that about 80% of the goods that are sold through Walmart are made in China. So all of these things together, coupled with the extreme willingness at this point for foreign central banks to hold U.S. government securities, has tended to create an environment where rates are much lower than they were. I mean, if you look at the last, you know, 20 years of history with respect to rates, I mean, it wasn't so long ago that a 14-year fixed-rate mortgage was considered to be a great deal.
Oh, well, you're right. And you're kind of jumping into my next question about this soft landing versus the bubble. That's one of the key factors I want you to touch on. I love what you said about the transition of power from manufacturers to retailers and how that affects us. The Walmart effect, in fact, just Friday, there is an article from Inman News from the National Association of Realtors President Thomas Stevens,
yes,
talking about NAR's strong effort to prevent Walmart to obtain a federally insured charter to establish them as banking.
Right.
And they want to prevent commercial firms operate. He says that banks created by commercial firms operate under an inherent and irreconcilable conflict of interest.
Interesting. Well, I think everybody's kind of watching where this trend is going, and there's no doubt that a lot of people shop at Walmart, and I don't know how comfortable they would be doing their, you know, banking, certainly attempts in the past to incorporate real estate in particular into other industries has not been very, very successful. But it's certainly something that everybody's watching very carefully.
So let's get into this what you talked about, a soft landing, you know, versus the bubble. You brought up some very interesting examples, and you can now tie that in. What you mentioned, one of the examples was about interest rates.
Well, when you look at the last 30 years or so of California real estate, there have been a couple of cycles where we have seen significant declines in the rate of price appreciation, and certainly in some regions there have been falling prices. And one of the graphs that I use looks at the growth rate in median home price for California and the U.S., and it's interesting to note that the U.S. median home price has never been has never declined. You know, it was flat one year in the 80s, but it's never declined. But in California, as recently as the 1990s, there were 6 years where the median home price for the state declined. The biggest decline was about a 4.8% decline. But in some communities, declining, you know, prices declined 15, 20, 25%.
Right.
What we saw,
right.
And really the point I try to make is it's tied to the economic fundamentals. The decline in price appreciation from the late 70s into the early 80s was a financial situation where mortgage rates were very, very high. You know, as I mentioned, 14, 15, 16%, the prime rate got very high. Inflation was extremely strong. The decline in appreciation that we saw from the late 80s to the mid-90s was an employment-driven cycle where a lot of jobs were lost in California. Between 92 and 94, for example, about 750,000 jobs were lost in Los Angeles County. So if you look at the San Fernando Valley, for example, the inventory skyrocketed. People mailed in the keys, left to find jobs somewhere else. The point I try to make is that this decline in prices doesn't happen in a vacuum overnight like the stock market. It's driven by...
Like you're an example of the NASDAQ.
Right.
Was a bubble.
Exactly. For real estate, it's driven by excess inventory. And the only, you know, there's only a couple ways you can get excessive inventory, you know, and that really has to do with financing and the health of the economy and jobs.
Let me ask you this. What you ended up with, speaking basically February 2006, was that no one is predicting any of these major impacts that you just mentioned within the next 3 years. Therefore, you see more of a soft landing than any kind of bubble. How quickly could interest rates go up? I wasn't in the business. How quickly did they go up back in the 80s? I mean, how quickly could they go up now to where they could have some kind of monumental impact?
Well, let me just go back even not that far. Between 94 and the end of 1995, fixed rate mortgages went from a little less than 7% to a little bit more than 9% in about an 18-month period. And that, again, was...
They went from
around 7% to a little above 9% between early 94 and mid 95. So about an 18-month period, you had about a 2% increase in rates that mirrored the Fed policy, and the Fed increased the Fed funds rate during that same time from 3% to 6%.
Wow.
So the Fed funds rate doubled and mortgage rates pretty much followed suit. So your question was, how quickly and how high could mortgage rates go? And the answer is, it really depends on what kind of story you want to tell. You know, there's nothing that looks likely right now that would drive rates up to 8-9%. You know, you have a growing economy. Inflation is actually doing pretty well, even given what's gone on with energy costs after Katrina and so on. And you have an economy that's growing at a not overheated pace. It's growing at a moderate pace. We came in at 3.5% GDP last year. Consensus forecast is for the same growth, about 3.5% this year. Now, obviously, a year from now, when we look back on 2006, we know it's not going to be a smooth line. You know what I mean? When you look back, you know, when you look forward, forecasts always look relatively smooth. And when you look back, things are erratic because there are unforeseen events that you can't predict, but you can plan for them. And so in answer to your question, how quickly could rates go up and how high, the answer to that is it depends on, again, what kind of story you want to tell. If there's going to be a global financial crisis, rates could go up very quickly, very fast.
Right.
But we don't see that as a likely scenario for 2006. As I've said earlier, we see a continuation of a moderate growth economy with employment growth running between 1-1.5% in California, with rates going up a little, about 0.5% this year compared to last year, but none of the dire extreme scenarios that could happen but aren't likely to happen.
Gotcha. Well, you know, right. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. We just base on the trends that we see and doing the best we can. Talking with Leslie Appleton-Young, Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Finally, Leslie, you had a little survey information about internet buyers. You mentioned the internet earlier. And why'd you give those to me again? I thought that was fascinating.
Well, one of the things that we've done for the last 6 years at CAR is interviewed buyers and asked them if they use the internet or not. So we've had kind of like 6 years of history on the difference between people that are utilizing the net and not. And one of the interesting things, and I don't think this will come as a surprise to any of your listeners, is that when we started doing the survey, only about a quarter of the people, about 28% of the people we called, said they use the internet in their home purchase process.
This is back in 2000?
Right. And now in 2005, it was up to 62%. So going from about a quarter to about two-thirds of the people utilizing the internet. And there's a couple of different interesting findings. The one I find the most fascinating is how different the groups are in terms of their expectations with respect to how quickly people get back to them, and how they want to get their information. For example, when you ask, you know, what is your preferred method of receiving communication from your agent, 85% of the internet buyers say, "I want an email," and then 45% of them also say a phone call is okay. For the traditional buyers, 100% of them say a phone call,
absolutely,
and 32% say in person. So you have very different expectations.
My clients, they don't even want to talk to me, basically. I open an escrow, and they don't even return my calls.
Oh, is that right?
The final thing, we're running out of time, Leslie, and I'm leaving town. Number of homes, do you have that stat? I wrote down, I don't know if I have it accurate. The number of homes that a standard internet buyer will preview before they purchase, 6.2 homes.
Correct.
And the non-internet buyers will look at 14 homes.
Right.
Love that stat, because basically the internet buyer is a little more savvy.
They're doing research on the
net.
They're doing a lot more research on the net. They know what they want. They make their decision in about 2 weeks compared to about 7 weeks for the traditional buyer.
Well, I think the conclusion there is we need to charge more to people who don't use the internet. Leslie Appleton-Young, Vice President, Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Appreciate it so much. Bye-bye. Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. It's about 9 minutes to the hour. Stay tuned. We'll come back with the weekly multiple listing update.